The Light of Life Radio Ministry now presents great teachings by experts in the Catholic faith.
We have with us today Patrick Campbell and his wife Joy and several of their large blended family of nine children. They are founders of the Cross of St. Benedict Society. The Campbell family are parishioners of St. Anne Parish in Kingstree, South Carolina. They are also oblates of the Benedictines, Mary Queen of Peace. To tell their story, we welcome Patrick.
Hello. Our story is I guess if it didn't really happen to us, we would be totally unbelievers of what the Lord has and his sense of humor and how he works. Joy and I met my Joy when I was a single father of six children, and she was a single mother of two. So you could say that the evil one probably had its way with the first family, that we were both wounded and devastated as well with the children when we met. And through the Catholic annulment process, we found healing, and we were married in the Catholic Church, which resulted in the ninth child, which is Ignatius, who is now 10. He is now 10. So we've been married for 12 years, and we just loved the situation that God was giving us, this new beginning, and we thought, okay, love is going to be enough. And we armored with our helmets of love, we went at this, and we tried to take all these broken hearts and we put them all together in our sacrament of marriage. And soon, into going into that marriage, we realized that the children were very, very wounded, as well as both of us. It was like a nuclear bomb that went off in that divorce. And then after that, you have radiation. So that radiation comes out as you start going on. And Joy decided she was going to take the road to sainthood, and she decided to homeschool all nine children. And I'm like, okay, let's go, let's do this together. And, she ended up, realizing that the kids were a lot wounded than she could have possibly imagined. So she was going to doctors and therapists and counselors and they were subjecting the kids to medication and antidepressants, and there were all these psychological problems and therapy. And she's like, when is this going to end? When does this stop? Because although the medications and the counselors were great and they're good people and they're needed, it's a Band-Aid. And that Band-Aid comes off. So when the medication wears off and the counseling session stops, there's still a wound. And Joy's sitting beside herself thinking, what am I going to do? So she turns to the one thing that she knows that can fix all things is the Creator. It's Jesus. So she says, okay, Jesus, we need a miracle. So she calls me up, like I've got miracles, and I'm a workaholic. I was a senior project manager. I had a really good job, and I was a workaholic because I'm providing for all these people. So that's where my focus was. And she said, we need help. And I'm like, yeah. She says, well, we need you to lead us to holiness. And I said, well, that's good, because that was my plan, is holiness. So she said, well, we need you to be the priest of this household. And I'm like, well, I'm not a priest. I'm just a dad, and I'm doing the best I can. We go to church on Sunday. What more do you want me to do? And she's like, I want you to pray more. And I'm like, well, I am praying more. I'm praying. She goes, when are you praying? And I said, I'm praying all the time. She said, I don't see you praying. I said, I'm praying right now. I'm praying you leave me alone. What more do you want me to do? And she's like, she came to that realization that she can't change me. In fact, you can't change anyone. There was nothing that she could do, no matter how much change that I needed to go through. She couldn't change me, because she realized that throughout the Bible history, God always bestowed the father first for the blessings, and then they, like Abraham. The blessing came to Abraham, then it went to his wife, and then it went to his kids. So if we're going to get a miracle, she knows that she needs to get me to straighten out. And I'm too busy to be straightened out. So what does she do? Now, we call this the bungee cord effect. Okay, so the bungee cord effect is she knew very full well that we were attached. By that sacrament of marriage, we were one. And if I'm not willing to get on my knees and beg God for a miracle to heal our kids and our family, and she can't change me, then the only recourse she has is to change herself. And that's what she did. So she went in mind, she's going, okay, Lord, I'm going to drag these kids. And she started to pray the rosary every day, and then with the kids. Then she said, well, you know what, I'm going to do Divine Mercy too. And then with the kids. And then she said, you know what, I'm going to add daily Mass, okay? And then I'm going to, you know what, the Divine Office seems like a good idea. There's morning prayer, and then there's evening prayer. And, you know, I honestly have to say that I noticed a huge change in the children. I noticed that they started reading their catechism. Some of them even started speaking Latin because they were just really getting into this Bible studies. And they were becoming healed. And I could not believe it. And I told my wife, you know what? I have, hands down, you do it. Awesome. So then the situation came where she said, okay, then why don't you join us? And I'm like, come on. I've got 9 kids. You see how much these boys eat? We got a 7-bedroom house. You know, I've got to work. I got to support these kids. God knows I'm doing the best I can. He knows that I can't go to daily Mass because I got to provide for these people. So what did she do? She said, okay, well, she let go. What can you do? Not enough tension yet. Not enough tension on that bungee cord. So she let go and she prayed more for me. And she prayed and she prayed because I wasn't ready yet. And then one day, snap, I lost my job. Because of the economy in the U.S., because of the great stress that the whole world was going through at this time, it became between me or my vice president. And I'm telling you, my vice president wasn't very happy because he knew how much I worked and he did not want to take over my job. But in one moment, all the sacrifices that the family was making to keep me at work there, all those hours came to an end. And we were already living paycheck to paycheck. And I was devastated. Now, all of a sudden, it seemed like a good idea to get on my knees and pray the rosary with the family. Now, all of a sudden, it seemed like a good idea to drive them to church every day because I was begging the Lord for the means to survive. And what it did really is it took that false God that I'm doing this by myself and my hard work and my diligence, and it put me in a vulnerable position where I was begging the Lord that we would save the house, that I could find food. And what happened is that I couldn't find any work. All doors were closed. And I had so many contacts, and I had so many million-dollar projects that I had worked on and letters of recommendation, and I could not understand why every door was closed. I was so desperate, I was asking neighbors and friends if I could repair their windows and their doors just to get some food on the table. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I'm resigned to what you want me to do now. Help us. 1 month led to 2 months led to 6 months. Then it was a year and I didn't have a full-time job. And I thought, Lord, Joseph had one kid and he had a job. Why aren't you helping us? Why are you withholding what we need? Because there is nothing more than I know what to do. And I became very angry at God. And so what happened was my wife Joyce had a birthday. And I didn't even have money enough to get her the roses that I normally would give her for her birthday. And I was so upset. And I yelled at the kids. I said, kids, get in the garage. And they're like, what did we do, Dad? Mm-hmm. I said, get in the garage. We're going to make your mom a gift. And Ignatius was just a small little kid. He took 2 pieces of wood. They were made out of pine. And he slapped them on our workbench. And I said, great, we'll make mom a cross. And so all 9 kids, we stayed up to the wee hours of the night, and we made this cross. It was a beautiful Celtic cross. We designed it and colored it and you know, stained it. And in the morning, on her birthday, we presented her with this cross. And she embraced it. And she cried. And I realized that God was answering my prayers, but not in the way that I would have thought. this cross represented my family, and it was beautiful, and it brought us peace. And I just thought, this is what we've needed. So every day when I would come home from this part-time jobs, and I knew that whatever I was working wasn't going to save us from foreclosure that was coming, I would make crosses, one cross after another, because it was the only thing that brought me peace, because somehow these cross represented other families that were going through similar situations or something even worse. And I would take the exotic woods that I would use from the projects that I would run, that I had saved in my garage, and I would put them into the crosses, because those families, they're precious to the Lord, so they need to be made out of precious material. And so that's what I did. And 60 crosses later, my wife says, honey, we have 60 crosses on our wall. They're very beautiful. And we're about to lose our house, so what's your plan? And then the fact was, is I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to sell them for. I thought maybe I could go to the back of the church, and when Mass was done, I'd go, hey, buddies, hey, you want a cross? Two for one. I didn't know what to do. I was so paralyzed. There was this one time that Joy said, honey, I want to invite you to this charism school. And I said, I don't know. That kind of sounds charismatic to me. And she's like, it is charismatic. And I like, oh, you know, honey, I don't need praise and worship. I need a message from God. And she's like, well, duh. That's called a word of knowledge. And that happens a lot at the charismatic movement. And I'm like, well, is this even a Catholic event? And she's like, yes, it is. And the keynote speaker was Damien Stain, and he held this big healing service. And I'm like, so is this guy Catholic? He says, yes, he's very well known. So I made a decision. I thought, if I was going to get a message from God, I'm going to have to take a leap of faith. So I took all 60 crosses, and I rented a car, and I put them in the back of the trunk. I rented the car in the hotel, and we took off. And we didn't even have money enough to come back home. But I figured, you know, I got to take this leap. Either I'm going to lose the house on my couch, or I'm going to lose it at this conference. And when we got there, it was beautiful. It was huge. There was like over 1,000 people there. And there was praise and worship going on. It was so beautiful. I even had to go outside and see if it was really a Catholic church, because I was like, why is there beautiful music in this place? It was just amazing that was so full. There was, and all my fears that it wasn't going to be Catholic, there were all this religious there. There were priests and nuns there, and they welcomed us. I mean, you could see the Holy Spirit was like thick as pea soup in that place. And I was just felt so loved, like we were walking into heaven. And on Saturday night, there was the great school, because it taught us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what was amazing is I didn't think that God could use us in that way. I had no idea. We were more Latin traditional, and which is still beautiful, and we still attend. But what I noticed about this is that God was going to use defective people to bring forth His glory. And it didn't matter if I was weak or how I was, He could use me in whatever state I was in. That Saturday night, Joy and I went to the healing service, and so we thought we'd sit in the back to watch, really. We wanted to just see, because there was a lot of people. There was 1,000 people there, and it was dark, and we sat in the back of the church, and Damien Stain, he came out there, and, you know, he's a very humble man. He was on the sanctuary, and he'd say, he would call out certain people, and we noticed that there was a man that came hobbling in who sat right behind us. He kind of like hobbled in and sat behind us. And Damien came out and said, there's a man in this row. And he kind of pointed at our row. And he said, and although that you didn't ask for this, our Lord knows that you broke your ankle when you were just a child. And He knows that you didn't ask for this healing, but He just wants you to know that He loves you and that He's going to heal your ankle right now. And then I heard this whimper, and I turned around, and I saw the tears fall from this man's face as he's hopping up and down on his brand new ankle. And I said, Lord. And in that moment, I realized that Christ was in the house. Now, I'm a cradle Catholic, and I believe in the true presence of the Eucharist. But for me right now, Christ was right there. And I was sitting there in the dark, And I said, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm so ready. I'm scared and I'm ready. And if you're going to tell me something, I need to hear from you now because I don't know what to do. I'm so afraid I don't even know how to get back home. I need to know. And Damien Stain, he looked at our row and he put his arm up. And when he put his arm up, chills just went up and down my spine. And all these goose pimples went just all over me. And he said, there's a man in this row. And then he shook his head. And then he put his head on his forehead and he said, is my prayer team praying for me? He looked over to his prayer team and says, you won't believe this. He said, I know this might sound crazy. You guys are praying for me, right? And then he said, but there's a man in this row. And that was our row. And there's about 100 people in our row. But there's a man in this row who is associated with Batman. And I said, I took my wife and I said, it's me. And she's like, you know, you're not Batman, right? And I said, you don't understand. You don't understand when I was a little kid. I was like, they'd line us all up and they'd ask us what we want to be. And while all the other kids wanted to be astronauts, doctors, and lawyers and presidents, I'd always say Batman. And my parents told me it couldn't be Batman. And I cried. I know it's me. And she goes, but you're not Batman. And I said, you don't understand. I went to my room and I cried in my pillow and I said, Lord, if I'm going to be anything in this life, I want to be your superhero. I want to be Batman for you. Then Damien says, this man is going through extreme financial distress. It's me! My wife's like, honey, honey. You know, you're not the only poor guy who likes Batman, right? And I said, you don't understand. It's got to be me. And he said, this man has a message from Jesus. And Jesus says, you need to pray with our prayer team tonight. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I came here for a message. And then I got scared. And my wife's like, well, you better go up there. And Damien walked from one of the side of the sanctuary to another. And I said, oh, no, Lord, no, 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 no. I'm not going to go up there and make a fool of myself until you give me one more sign. And it was like he heard me. I mean, he stopped in his tracks. I mean, there's 1,000 people in this room and I'm in the back. He stopped in his tracks and turned around like he heard me. And he said, this man is also associated with the name George. It's me! And my wife's, honey, your name's not George. And I said, it's got to be me. When I was a kid, I used to draw this character named George. She says, but your name's not George. I said, I was born on George Washington's birthday. And she's like, and? And I said, well, then I drew this picture of George and it was me and it represented me and everybody, nobody knew about it except me, my mom, and God. And she said, well, then you better go up there. And so I had full intent. And I marched up there to go get my message. And while I was going up to the prayer center, the sanctuary of the church, I noticed that there were people in wheelchairs, people who had cancer, people who were blind, people who were really sick. And I just totally did not feel worthy. I was like, the only thing wrong with me is I couldn't get a job. And that's my fault. Why should I go up there? And then I got ashamed and embarrassed, and then I walked away. Distract ourselves by you know, really praying for other people who really needed it. We were praying, it was around 11:30 at night, and we were praying with one woman, and she had a terrible mess with her daughter that she was working out, and she's in tears, and she's crying, and we're praying, and it was around 11:30, and it was like an angel came up from behind me and picked me up by the seat of my pants, and I stood up, and my wife's like, where are you going? And I said, I got to get in line. And she says, we are praying with this woman. And I said, I'm so sorry. And I got to get in line. She goes, she's crying. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. I got to get in line. And I stepped into that long line in the back of the church to receive my blessing. And an usher came in with a big rope and said, I'm so sorry. It's 11:30. Damien Stain is tired. You're going to have to receive your prayers tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord. I came all the way out here to get this message. And because I was scared, I messed it up. Along comes my friend Ed. Now, I didn't know Ed before tonight. And Ed's an older gentleman. But they put prayer buddies together, people you don't know. And I had worked with him that day. And he saw that I was stressed out. And he said, Patrick, what's wrong? And I said, I wanted to be prayed with. He said, oh, don't worry. Me and my wife will pray over you. And I'm like, oh, Ed. And he's like, what's wrong, Patrick? And I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but I'm Batman. Oh, you're Batman. Oh, come with me. Come with me. And he takes my arm and drags me from that long line of all these people in wheelchairs and crutches that have been standing there for 2 hours. And he drags me to the front. And I'm like, no, 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 Ed, they said they were closing. Like, come with me, come with me. And I'm like, Ed, stop. And he goes right to the back of Damien Stane. Damien Stane's praying with some poor guy in a wheelchair with a tube sticking out of his neck, like, and he's got sweat coming down his face, and he is really praying. His whole face is red. Ed goes to the back of Damien and says, Mr. Damien. And he's pulling on his shirt. Mr. Damien. I'm like, Ed, leave it alone. Mr. Damien. And Damien turns around and goes, what? We got Batman. Where is he? And Damien, with all this intent, comes right over to me. And I'm like, oh, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. We can do this tomorrow. He goes, no. Jesus wanted you to do this tonight. And I'm like, okay. And so he looks at me and he sees my name is Patrick. So he's got Patrick, he's got George, and he's got Batman. And he puts his hands over my head and says, oh Lord, please help us with any identification issues, any multiple personalities. And I'm laughing. And he says, well, wait a minute. I see you on a boat, and you're on the ocean, and you're pulling up to this island, and the island is paradise, and Jesus is on that island, and he's helping you get off your boat onto firm, solid ground. And he said, are you Catholic? And I said, yes. He says, well, the Blessed Mother's here with you, and she's just not holding you. She's grasping you so you will not fall. Now, Jesus has this message for you. From this night on, you will not worry about your finances. And he let me go. And I knew with all my heart that I had an encounter with Christ. And I floated out of that room on cloud 9. The next day, they had a big deliverance workshop. So Damien got up there, and he wrote down all the possible things that we could have opened our doors up to the enemy, because he's like a chained dog, and unless you get close, you know, he's not going to bother you. So all the incidents that we might have opened doors up, and he wrote down all these evil things because we were getting ready to renounce all these things and recommit ourselves to Christ in our baptismal vows, to renew our baptismal vows. So everyone was very excited about that. And in the middle of him doing all that, I sat there with two of my crosses, remembering the words that Damien had told me from my prophecy. From this night on, you will not worry about your finances. All along worrying about my finances because we didn't know how we were going to go home, because I didn't tell my wife yet that we didn't have any more money. So I'm sweating this out on this side of the room. And while that was happening, there was a woman in the pews that started to, she became very uncomfortable, and then she started to scream. And everybody knew in that room that there was something that was attacking this woman, but you couldn't see it. And she was panicking and she was screaming. And Damien, without any fear, approached the woman in prayer with some priests. And we witnessed for 15 minutes some real spiritual warfare. And what happened was, is whatever that was bothering that woman, totally gone. It had no business there. Praise the Lord. It was gone. But what happened was, is everybody in that room was afraid. They were terrified, and they started to walk out of the conference. I'm on the other side of the room, and I'm looking at this beautiful picture on the back of the wall of the Blessed Mother. And I'm saying to the Blessed Mother, Mama, you're supposed to be grasping me. What's going to happen to us? How are we even going to get home? How am I going to present these crosses? And then for the first time in my life, I heard deep in my heart the most beautiful voice that I would have ever known. You will not present these crosses. My son and I will present these crosses. And then I looked at the picture, and it was of the Blessed Mother with the infant Jesus, and the baby Jesus is holding a cross. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the baby Jesus is holding a cross. They are presenting a cross. And this man came in front of me and stood in front of me in this picture of the Blessed Lady. So I said, what's wrong with this guy? So I moved out of the way so I could get a better view of the picture of the Blessed Mother. And this man came directly and stood right in front of me. And that man was Damien Stain, the speaker of the conference. And he said, listen, I need to cheer this crowd up very fast. Are you willing to come up here and talk about why God thinks you're Batman and bring your wife? And I said, okay. So he invited Joy and I up there, and he took that chalkboard with all the evil stuff that he wrote, and he wiped it all down. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, people are walking out, right? And he says, listen. And he draws a big, huge cross with a heart in the middle, which actually happened to be the prophecy that Joy got that same weekend, a big cross with a heart in the middle, and said, everybody heard me say something strange about Batman last night. And I want you all to know that sometimes God asks us to do the ridiculous so he can do the miraculous. And sometimes all that's required of us is to be obedient rather than think about whether this makes sense or not. But today we have Batman and his wife, and I invited them to talk to you today. Everybody kind of like, what? You know, they stopped and they looked at us, and I got up there with two of my crosses. Now, Damien didn't even know I had crosses, and I humbled myself in front of all these people, and I told them that I had lost my job about a year and a half ago, and that I was making these crosses, and I believe God wanted me to make these for your families. But I don't know who they go to, that I don't know why I was asked to make these crosses, but I know that I made a promise to God when I was a child that I would be his Batman. And in some way, I believe that like Batman has a tool belt, that we as Catholics have a tool belt, and that Batman was just a normal man against extraordinary evil, that we too are against extraordinary evil. And all that we have is more than enough to fight the forces that are coming against our families. If we pick up the weapons, the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church and fight, I don't even know what to charge. But I know that God met me where I was at 5, and that I'll meet you where you're at, and that I'll accept any price that you can afford, and then you pay me back whenever you hear God say that the Campbell family needs gas money, or the Campbell family needs whatever. And Damien was brought to tears, and he took both of my crosses, and he looked at me and says, you know, you could be a preacher. And I laughed. I said, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a priest. I'm not a deacon. I'm just a dad. But in the eyes of God, I'm Batman. He said, all you people here, buy these men's crosses. And that day, we sold all 60 crosses, and we've been asked to go to one conference after another, not exactly knowing what our next conference was or if we'd have enough funds to get to the next conference or to get home, but we've been going out, and we've been making spiritual weapons for families and praying with broken families because our family was broken too. And God didn't wait to heal us or to ask us to be completely healed before we went out. He just... Whenever I ask God, Lord, when are this going to happen? When is this going to happen? He says, feed my sheep. Don't worry about you. I got you. You go out, you help other people. So that's what we've been doing. Last year, we went around the United States and Canada 3 times. And we just spread our story. And we're also known as the Joyful Hope Ministry, which is our nonprofit organization that's in connection with the United for Life Foundation. We make spiritual weapons for families, and we meet them where they're at. We were a family with many problems. We were wounded, and then some of us are still wounded, but we can pray. And I think that's what God's all asking us to do. He's not asking for superheroes. He's asking for normal people to go out there and proclaim the gospel, to proclaim that if you put into practice what Jesus promised, it will provide the healings of those families that you need. Those sacraments and the sacramentals are there as a hospital for us to come closer and one in a communion. So when someone comes and they purchase a cross, it's not about purchasing a cross, it's about joining our family. So to date, we have almost 2,000 members of the Cross of St. Benedict family members who have our crosses that we pray for. Just like we pray for our family 7 times a day in our divine office and daily mass, we pray for these families 7 times a day. And they get to travel and see with us. Joy puts out a blog and tells our stories, and we take pictures and we go out and meet. Just this last time in Canada, we were out in Canada and someone ordered a cross from Canada. And I said, well, we've got a show in Canada. So we'll bring it with us. We'll bring the box of the cross with us, and then we'll mail it from Canada because it's cheaper. So that's what we thought. We got there, and the conference was great. We met a lot of people, and we ran out of time, and it's Sunday, and you can't mail anything on Sunday. And we said, what are we going to do with this package? Maybe we should go and find somebody and say, hey, if I give you some extra money, can you mail it? And I said, well, we should have mailed it in the United States. So it's like, what do we got to lose if we just Google their address? We were 5 minutes away from their house. 5 minutes. So 8:45, I'm feeling really stupid, but I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess, you know, and I saw a Batman symbol on the road. And we said, okay, that's a signal. We're on a mission. That's a signal. God's got us on a mission. Very sheepishly, Joy and I, you know, and we don't know these people at all. We just know that they bought our cross. And we knocked on the door, and we told them who we were, and they invited us in. 45 minutes later, they're all in tears. We were able to pray with them. God gave them a beautiful message that they needed to hear at that time. And they needed the cross at that time. And everything came together for that person. And they couldn't believe that God would pluck us from one country to their country on their doorstep. And we have a hard time believing it too, but we see it all the time. In fact, we see more miracles on the road than we would ever do to ever go back. Sometimes you look at, you know, some people say, well, you take your whole family and you travel United States, you travel Canada, and you don't know where you're going. You know, you're a bunch of gypsies, you know, and it's like, you know what? If you knew what I knew, if you had the same miracles happening in your life, it would be foolish to stay at home when so many of God's children need help, when so many people need not only the weapons, but the prayer and the connection of that family, because the healing is in the family. This is why Jesus spent 30 years in a family unit to glorify the family, because it's all about the imitation of the Trinity. And then you've got the Holy Family. And then you've got all of us, defective families, hurting families, wounded families. And that's where the war is right now in this world, is on the family, because it resembles the Trinity, because it's a continually battle, sieged night and day. Satan wants to divide families. He wants to separate families. He wants to kill them. He wants to divide the children. He's having all these offers of lies and deception to the children and to the fathers and the mothers. The fathers don't know that they're the spiritual priests of the household. They have no idea that they're supposed to be defending their families against the evil that's coming in. What are the doors that are being opened? I often tell fathers when I go out and I speak about fathers and spiritual warfare, it's like, what man would hear a noise of someone breaking into their house and nudge his wife and say, find out what that is? What man would do that? But as fathers, that's what happens to us spiritually. There are people coming in through the internet into our kids' homes. There are people coming in through our TV. There are demons that are opening these doors, and our children are letting them open up these doors. And the fathers don't know that they've been given a gift from God as the priest of the household to stand up and kick these things out of their house. And it's one of the reasons why I take the crosses and I drill a hole down the chamber of each cross, and I insert exercise salt into each cross that's blessed by our spiritual director, Father David Miller from North Carolina, and to teach them that these are spiritual weapons and that if you use them with faith, they're not like a good luck charm. This is not something, this is sanctioned by the church. This is given for families to know how to fight, to get the evil out of their lives. Each family now, and especially these days, is like their own little Noah's Ark, and they have to protect that family from what's coming in, right? We got to stop the leaks, and we got to protect each other. And then when our ships come together, we can make a bigger ship, because those families are all supposed to work together. That's the communion of saints, okay? We're all supposed to work together. We're all supposed to be connected. We all have the same mama and papa, so there shouldn't be any division. Whenever there's division, there's misunderstanding, that's the work of the enemy. There'd be no arguments if we could read each other's hearts. So we can't make any judgments on people and their different struggles, because the way I get attacked is going to be different than the way someone else gets attacked. I can't choose the way the enemy comes and attacks me. I have no choice. So if I have no choice, then I can't blame someone else who has a different sin or a different weakness. But what I can do is I can pray for that person, and I can embrace the person where they're at, like Christ embraced me where I was at. I often wonder, why did he use the Batman? People say to me, they look at me, and sometimes we wear Batman shirts the first day when we go to conferences. They say, you guys must be really big Batman fans. And I'm like, no, not really. You know, not what Batman stands for right now. You know, not what they're doing to him. But back when I was 5, yeah. See, because I made a promise to God, and he's true to his promises. So how can I not put on the shirt? How can I not be his Batman? You know, because I was sincere when I made that promise. And if he wants to use that, no matter how foolish it is, I'd rather be a fool for Christ. So what was really kind of funny, when you look at our crosses, you know, there's a lot that goes into them, because they're made out of exotic woods, and there's a lot of holes and cuts in them, and there's a story behind each cross, because each cross represents a family. And it's got a particular design that I didn't really understand when I first made the cross. I mean, I saw it in a dream, so I started making the crosses in this design, and there's 8 holes in them. And it wasn't until like maybe the second year, third year, where a priest came up and says, you know why you have 8 holes in your cross? And I said, no, tell me, please. He says, well, there's 7 days of creation, and on the 8th day, Christ makes all things new. And I'm like, oh, I'm just, my mind is blown away. I'm like, I can't believe that was why that I was doing it that way. I had no idea. But I myself, every time we go out, there's another revelation of what the design of the cross that God's like. Sometimes people have a devotion to the Blessed Mother. I put her on the bottom of the cross. Some people have devotion to the 2 hearts. That can be put on the cross. Some people, St. Joseph. Some people, it's Padre Pio. And those can be integrated into the cross. And well, it should be, because everyone has a special weapon. And what is this weapon? This weapon is a communication tool. It doesn't just communicate to me, but to the demons as well. When St. Benedict was born in 480, he was a nobleman who went to school, and he was learning from the pagans, and he said, I can't take this anymore. And he foregoed his education that he rightly have as a nobleman, and he went off in the desert. And in the desert, he did battle with Satan. Not only did a lot of miracles happen for Saint Benedict in that desert, but he was also attacked by the enemy. And that's where he invented the Saint Benedict's cross. Well, he took 2 pieces of wood and he tied them together, and the demons were repelled. Why? Why were they repelled by 2 pieces of wood? Because it told a story that Christ redeemed us by wood. It told us a story that we lost our salvation at the tree of knowledge and we gained it at the tree of life. And that's why we make sure that all our crosses are not only made out of wood, but exotic, special woods that come from all over the world to glorify God, because these not only represent Christ, but they also represent my family, right? And your families. So they have to be precious. They can't be just walked by. They should not be mass produced. These crosses should be, when I walk by this cross, I should stop in awe and kiss the feet of Christ for the great miracle that he has done for me. And that's the kind of cross someone needs to have in their house, that stops and say, why is this cross all red? Well, it's because it's made out of bloodwood. Bloodwood, that seems pretty, you know, disgusting. Why would you have a bloodwood cross? Because he died for me. That was the price for me to be talking to you right now, because he had to die on a piece of wood. And now I talk to a lot of other different denominations, because we also try to bring them into it. And they might get offended sometimes that Christ is on the cross, you know, but that's okay. That's okay that they don't understand that, because that's where they're at right now. And I often tell them, if my faith was perfect, I wouldn't even need a cross, because I would know that Christ is with me and he walks with me. It's only when I forget and I don't see him that I fall into sin. So I need that. I need to keep him in the forefront. I need to keep my eyes on the suffering Christ. Otherwise, I fall into sin. So it's a tool. It's a weapon. Not only for the demons, but it's for me. Because if I know fully well how close God loves me, how much of a father he has sacrificed me, nothing, nothing, nothing can come up against me. So in our ministry, we try to take artwork that we do. Now, all the kids draw and we sing, but we try to take this artwork that we make by hand and load their homes up with holy images. Do you ever have a priest come over and all of a sudden everyone's language is better? You know, Father, I said 6 rosaries today. How are you? We all of a sudden, we're on our best behavior because, you know, a priest is in the room. What more when we realize that these holy images are around us? We need to take our house and put St. Michael up. We need to take our house and make sure that there's a statue of the Blessed Mother, so we become more aware, so we don't forget. Why did Eve fall into sin? Is it because she forgot? She forgot. Where was Adam? If Adam was there, his testimony would have defeated the snake. But we can't blame Eve too much. This is the first lie that was ever made. Okay, she didn't know what a lie was, much less a talking snake. How is she going to know? So Eve comes in. She sees a snake. She's like, hey, this is what this is. But I thought it was, no, it's not like that. It's like this. Really? Yeah, it's like this. God, you know, he doesn't want to share his divinity. You'd be God too. You're gonna live forever. It's going to be great. Right? But if Adam was there, Adam would have said, that's not right. Our father is like this and like this and like this. So what do we see here? We see the testimony defeating the enemy. It was the testimony St. Benedict did with the cross that defeated the enemy. What is a testimony? It's a communication. What is the cross? It's a communication. It tells a story. So my job as a humble crossmaker is to tell the best story I can, because it doesn't just educate me, it educates the people around me, and it educates the demons that he has nothing on us, nothing on us. If we embrace our cross, there is nothing that can hurt us. And in that embracing that cross, we find life and life abundantly. Over and over again in our lives, God chose us before. If we fall in love with something, he did this with my wife, Joy. You know, The first marriage fell apart, and I'm like, Lord, 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 why? Give me it back. And he took it away, right? And then he gives me Joy, and I'm like, oh, this is the best thing. You know, she's holy, and she's a good wife, and she's very beautiful, and I can't believe it. She has 2 great kids, and I have 6 kids, and it's going to come together. And then the Lord says, yeah, but I want you to wait. I want you to choose me first. And then he does that with our kids. He says, he gives us a kid. We say, oh, we love our children. And he goes, choose me or them. You're presented with the same thing that Eve was presented with. God doesn't have your back. God wants to take what's good from you, away from you, right? You're presented the same lie in a different form. And your job is to choose God over the lie that he's not going to give you what you really, and if he really loves you, which he really does, if you can keep that in mind, he's going to give you everything you want. Because he loves you. You just have to choose him first. You have to keep him in the front. You have to make sure that he is at first. Love him with this, your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and then everything else comes together. It's really quite simple. It's love God, and everything else will work out.
Patrick, would you describe the crosses that are the physical manifestation of your ministry?
The sword cross is our church militant cross, and that is one of our more popular items. It's made out of two woods, so it's also a marriage cross. There's two different species of wood that's been laid together into one cross, and that's a union of a marriage. The sword cross holds a St. Michael medal at the foot of the cross. Now, I love St. Michael. What I love about St. Michael is that he was the lesser of the angels. So when God had asked Lucifer to get out, when he sent St. Michael to kick him out, St. Michael was the lesser of those two angels. But yet he had a job to do. And his first words out of his mouth when he had to confront Satan was, "Who is like God?" It was like, and then he kicked him out like lightning. And if you notice about lightning, when they say they saw him, when Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning strike the earth." If you do your scientific study about how lightning was, the beginning and the end are at the same spot, right? Lightning, boom, it happens like that. Beginning and the end, right? That's how fast he left heaven when St. Michael kicked him out. When I draw St. Michael, I draw him with ruffled feathers, and I don't draw Satan inside that picture because I always wanted a picture without Satan. I don't care if he's stepping on his head or not. I don't want no Satan in my home. I want just St. Michael. So if Satan ever tried to get in my home again, he would see the picture of St. Michael and say, "Oh yeah, I remember that fight. I don't want to go there," you know? So that's why I drew it that way. But the Church Militant Cross is another way. It's another way for young men, young priests to recognize where the true weapon is, and that is the sword of the cross. And I love that it stands on a stand, and you kind of look at it, it's like, it's so tall, how can it stand up like that? But each cross tells a story, and that's the Church Militant. Here is the Trinity. This is our Celtic Trinity, inspired by St. Patrick. He's one of my special saints, as we're Benedictine Oblates. Studied under a year with Sister Gertrude Gillette, who is Mother Superior of Our Lady Queen of Peace Monastery in Davison, North Carolina. And we go to monthly Oblate meetings, and she's one of our spiritual directors. When we became Oblates, we chose a name. I was chose Patrick. My first name is Patrick. She let me get away with that. Joy Church, St. Hildegard. St. Patrick, he was a slave in Ireland. He came from England. And when he escaped being a slave and he went back, he became a bishop. And then he went back to the place that enslaved him. And he went to those pagans because he knew how much they needed Christ. He met the people where they're at. I often use that, right? He saw, okay, worshiping pagan sun god, not good. Worshiping good, pagan sun god, not so good. So they used a circle as their symbol for their pagan god. And he put the cross over that symbol. So it stood as a communication, just like St. Benedict did, stood for a communication. I'm saying that your God has nothing on Christ. He is first. But instead of that pagan sun god, what this is God's Father's infinite love for his Son. That's what the Celtic circle means. So this Celtic circle is made out of walnut. So the walnut represents the Father's great continuous love for his Son, and it's inlaid. That means these three woods that I'm representing here are inlaid together. They're not paste on. They're inlaid together. You can see how they're integral to each other, and it goes into the other two woods. The wood in the middle is the Passion of Christ, and it's made out of blood wood. That blood wood comes from South America, and it is a very precious wood, and it's blood. So if I were to cut this wood, that's one of the reasons why I started doing this, because you need to see that it's not paint. This is blood. So when we're cutting this blood wood in our garage, red's all over. You think it was a big CSI movie or something. You're like, what went on in here? You know, and we're all got all this red dust all over us because that's the Passion of Christ, right? It's bloodwood. And then I use bird's eye maple for what? Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. That's so the Holy Spirit's represented, envelopes the Passion. So you got the Holy Spirit, you got the Passion of Christ, and you got the unending love of God the Father in one Celtic St. Benedict's crucifix. And then I put the Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross. The miraculous medal is known by some. Now, I get in some arguments, but depending on which order I'm talking to, but the second most powerful sacramental. You talk to any Benedictine, they'll tell you, and any exorcist, that the St. Benedict's medal is the most powerful sacramental that the Church has. And the second most powerful sacramental is the miraculous medal. So if you're talking about heavy hitters, yes, this is the one that I would give to Pope Francis and say, this is my work, because this is the one that has everything into it. It has the 7 days of creation, the eighth day Christ makes all new things new. It has the little wax seal at the top, which is just a little beautiful remnants of St. Benedict. So it's a little wax seal that when you open it up, there is the holy salt. Every St. Benedict's cross that I make, I cut a hole in the back so you can see the backside of the medal of St. Benedict. Now, that was something that very unique in that we have a certificate of authenticity, because there's some people that are trying to, we're flattered, somebody's trying to do exactly what we're doing. This is the marriage cross. Now, the marriage cross is made out of two different species of wood. This one is a 12-inch. Each cross has an ability to be hung on the wall or to be in a stand. This one's made out of two precious woods. It's made out of bloodwood and ambrosia maple. So what that's about is two different species of woods from two different continents, just like a husband and wife coming together into one union, one sacramental union, their marriage. And then they become one. And then you carry that cross till you reach heaven. Sometimes you got to drag the cross. Some I leave empty at the end of the foot of the cross so someone can pick a saint. I bring several saint medals with me. I meet the people and personalize their crosses. Saint Therese is a very important saint to the couple. That's what I would put on the bottom of their cross, so it's personal. There are no two crosses that are alike. Each cross is so unique and different, just like every family is. Now, this small 8-inch cross is a trinity, but it's also our deliverance cross. A lot of people who pray with other people, they want to put this in their book bag. It has the 8 cutouts for the 7 days of creation, and on the 8th day, Christ makes all things new. It has bloodwood, wingate, and bird's eye maple. Because I realize that a lot of people in deliverance ministries, this is a very popular tool for exorcists. They like to hold the cross a long time. I've carved out a little spot for their thumb in the back of this cross, so it would be very comfortable for them to hold for a long time. Each cross I make has the St. Benedict's medal. The deliverance cross, 8-inch, has the two hearts at the bottom of the cross. That's the open chamber. It's ready to be packed. And when we hit the road, we weren't finished with everything. So when someone comes to our table, they can see us put the salt into their cross and then seal it with the wax. So what we do is we give an extra vial of salt to them with instructions on how to seal the home, because it's a very powerful weapon against the enemy. It's exercise salt. Unlike holy water, which is also very, very good, but holy water doesn't hold up too well in a wooden cross. But the holy salt does. It has the ability to stay where you put it. This is what is our Benedictine heart. It's one of our most popular spiritual warfare weapons. We call this spiritual sabotage, because sometimes young people wrestling with their faith and acknowledging Christ to others, and very hard for some people where they're at to have a crucifix in their dorm room. But they still love Christ, and they still want Christ, but they're not just there yet. So this Benedictine heart was designed, first of all, as a Valentine's gift to my wife, Joy, but for others to be able to accept the awesomeness of the St. Benedict medal in a heart unit. I've never known anyone to reject a heart. It doesn't even matter what religion they are. They'll see the heart, they'll kiss it. There's a partial plenary indulgence when it's blessed, and it's beautiful. It fits in your pocket. It could be on someone's dresser or someone's pocket. And here you're praying for the person and for their conversion, and you can give them away. This is the king. Now, the king is our pride and joy, and that king is 3 feet tall, and it's made out of bloodwood, wingate, and bird's eye maple, and it has a larger vial of salt on the top. That we would put that a big huge wax seal. The corpus is from Rome. All the corpuses are from Rome, and we use the medals are from Montesino. Now, this is a very special cross. I often ask people, I have 9 children. When my children want ice cream, they're very smart at this, okay, and I've learned this from them. They go to the smallest child, that would be Ignatius, and they say, Iggy, ask mom for ice cream. And then everybody hides and waits and watch Iggy approach mom. Mom, can I have some ice cream? And she looks, how could I not let you have ice cream? Okay, same thing works with God. Okay, you have to know what is at the heart of Christ. If you want something in your life, you've got to know the secret on who to petition to get that ice cream. So I ask people, what's at the center of Christ's heart? It's Mother Mary. So inside, behind the Benedictine crucifix, this large crucifix, we embedded a heart, a miraculous metal heart, and she's enveloped in the Trinity. So what's really nice about the crosses is with the stories, you can be able to catechize your friends too. And it relives the story, because it's about, and so what I say about the metal, they say, how does that metal stick in there? And I said, well, it's a magnet. And I say, you see St. Benedict? St. Benedict is not the magnet. Christ is the magnet. And the closer St. Benedict, who's just a piece of metal, got to Christ, the more magnified he becomes. And he draws people onto himself because of his closeness to Christ. And so likewise, we all need to get closer, just like Joy did with her bungee cord. She needed to get closer to Christ so I would follow. So if we want our kids to come back to God, we want our healing for our family, we have to stop worried about changing the other people. We got to change ourselves. We got to be so magnified that when people look at me, they don't see me. They see Christ. Because me and myself, I'm not a very attractive person. But if someone is attracted to me, it's because of Christ inside me. So there needs to be less of me and more of Him. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for using us, even though you don't have to use us. You're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for you. You have redeemed the world. You have done all the work. You have suffered and died for us. And you have taught the enemy a lesson by using the same people who have crucified you to redeem the world with. Cover us all with your precious blood, that we might be united in the communion of saints with you to do the work that you've asked us to do. Help us, Lord, not grow weary in serving you. Bring us new living waters that we may spread these living waters to all the people that you want, O Lord, all the families that are so precious to you, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Great Teachings, presented by Light of Life Radio. If you would like to obtain a copy of this teaching, either for yourself or your family or your friends, call LOL Radio 304-598-0026 or visit www.lolradio.org.